Wasn't that grand? That was a blessing. Thank you, brother. I'm amazed at the instruments that men have made to proclaim music from. That is just beautiful, brother. Thank you so much. I know it took a lot of practice, and we appreciate it. Please turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, Psalm 19. Psalm 19. I need you to keep your Bibles open as we look at some verses tonight. We're going to be doing a Bible study on some things I know in my heart that this will help you. If you'll take some notes and practice what I teach you tonight, I promise you that it will make a difference in your life. So what I want to preach and teach on tonight is meditations versus imaginations. Meditations versus imaginations. So what I want to work on again tonight is the way you think. And we've been preaching on that the past month about the mind of Christ, casting down imaginations, learning how to think like Christ. And as I was studying the other day, the Lord reminded me that I need to reinforce that and help you, especially those of you who really struggle sometimes with your thought life. And I think we all do. Sometimes some of us just don't admit it. But I think that we all do. But I want to remind you of something. The Word of God promises this. He said, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Now, I want you to look in Psalm 19. I think you're going to learn some things tonight. As I studied on this, it helped me after all the years of studying and what I thought was meditation. I was doing more of it than I realized as I studied this. But I want you to look in Psalm 19. I want you to look with me here. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. Most of you have memorized it, probably. By the way, Psalm 19 is a great psalm to memorize. It is a great psalm. But I want to pick up here in verse number 14, where David said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now, I want you to remember something that's connected here too as we study the definition of what meditation really is biblically. I want you to notice how it is connected together with the words of your mouth, also the meditations of your heart. They're connected here together. They work together. Turn with me over to Psalm 104 and turn. Let's look at a passage of Scripture over there. And you'll see again how they are connected, the mouth and the mind, when it comes to meditation. All right? let's look in Psalm 104. Look in verse number 33. I absolutely love this psalm, one of my favorite psalms, as David is honoring the Lord as our creator, and then he talks and brags about the creation, how that God has provided for every creature on the earth and how he's blessed us. And he says in verse 33, he said, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." And he said, "My meditation of him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in the Lord." So you'll see that it motivated him while he was meditating. Not only was he saying some things, but he also at times when he was meditating, it would kick into singing to the Lord while he was meditating on these things. Now, the battleground, you know, is in between your ears. You know that, right? The battleground is in your mind. And God will help you with your thought life and help you with your mind if you'll make some efforts tonight. And by the way, when God's going to save a man, he doesn't save a man without some knowledge. If you lose your mind, you're going to lose your soul. If you're not saved, I'm talking about if you don't know the Lord, and you wind up blowing your mind on drugs or on alcohol or whatever, I mean, it's over, because you have to have some knowledge of the truth. And you need to know the truth. It is the truth that makes you free. God doesn't bypass the mind when he is dealing with a sinner's heart concerning salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He's confessing, Brother Brewer, what he knows and what he believes the truth to be. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, you need to know, number one, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And sinners only. He didn't come to save saints. Came to save sinners. And if you're willing to admit that you're a sinner and come to that truth, then if you're willing to acknowledge the fact that Christ died for your sins and that God raised him from the dead to prove that he was the Son of God, that if you would bow your knee and call upon him, he would save you from two things: the wages of your sin that you deserve and the wrath of God that you deserve. Show you mercy and some grace. But tonight I want to speak to those of you who are already believers. The battle that goes on in your mind, the battleground, the mind, the thoughts, the meditations and the imaginations. You know what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 teaches us? You're to be casting down what? It doesn't say casting down meditations. It says casting down imaginations. Pulling down strongholds. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge, the truth, and the facts of God. Bringing into captivity, taking your thoughts prisoner, putting them away, and locking them up. Say, you're not going to run around in my mind today. By the way, throw away the key. Every thought, the Bible says, to obedience, to the obedience of Christ. So what's the difference between meditation and an imagination? Well, let me try to put it this way. Meditation is more of you engaging in what we would say your offense. A football team has an offense and they have a defense. Meditation is an offensive reaction and choice. Imagination requires defense because, by the way, your imagination is going to work overtime and it's going to work against you by default if you are passive concerning your thought life. Your thought life is going to come against you. It's going to be intrusive. You're going to have intrusive thoughts come into your mind. You're going to have suggestive thoughts come into your mind. Harmful thoughts happens by default, always somewhere in there, accusatory, either of you or of somebody else that you know in the church or in your family. And it will slander them and it will create envy in your heart towards something and create discontentment. There's also something else it always does. It always distorts your past. You hear me? It'll always distort your past. You know the book of Ecclesiastes says that it's not wise for you to talk about the good old days because you really don't know everything. You just remember parts of what was going on back there. But you don't know what everything around those days that made it feel like they were good old days. And if you could go back in time, you'd realize that it wasn't exactly as you remembered it. All of us who are older, who moved away from home, will testify when you go back and you look at the yard that you played in that you thought was the size of a football field and you realize it was just a postage stamp when you saw it again when you were older. Your memory is distorted in some of those things, good and bad in some of those things. But please remember this. Your memories can be a good thing and they can be a bad thing. When the Holy Spirit brings memories to your mind in your meditation, He will take you into a classroom. He doesn't take you into a living room. He has no intention for you to sit there and stay there. He intends for you to stay there for a few minutes and then move on. And in the classroom, you're learning. You remember something and you learn from it, good or bad. Imaginations will take your past and pull you into it, sit you down, and it will relive things. And it will accuse you of things. It'll make it where it's impossible for you to go forward and live a transformed life if you don't deal with this. It is in your mind and in your thought life, I promise you. You know what Paul said? He said, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Do you know what he said after that? Forgetting. Now, I don't have a problem forgetting some things I'm supposed to remember. But that's not what he's talking about. It is forgetting the things that are past. And if you want to live a victorious Christian life, if you want to be an overcomer, you're going to have to forget the past, even your own accomplishments. Because your imagination will feed your vanity and your pride over some of your successes. It'll puff you up. It'll make you appear in your mind to be more important, more valuable, and stronger than you really are. Because one of the reasons why you were successful is because God's people prayed for you. It wasn't all on you. I mean, you don't want to take all the blame when you fail. Why are you taking all the credit when you succeed? You understand? And so this is critical that you understand this. Let me define, though, for you tonight, the word meditation. From three areas, Latin and Hebrew and Greek. The word meditation. Let me say, first of all, what it is not. Sometimes when you think about meditation, in your mind comes this Hindu monk. And he's wearing his prison outfit, his orange garments. And he's sitting somewhere, bow-legged, he's bald-headed, and he's sitting there and he's just kind of, but really that's not meditation. That's really called transcendental meditation. That is called TM. That is emptying your mind. God does not want you being passive and emptying your mind. Now, sometimes I would like to, you know, we sometimes make this statement, I like to just go do something and clear my head. You ever said that? Clearing your mind about some troubles and thoughts is different than you just going empty. But when a monk like that sits there with his eyes closed, and they promote this, even on the 11 o'clock news, and when we watch the news, we like to watch 11 o'clock news, not 11 o'clock, Channel 11 news. I don't stay up to 11 o'clock to watch the news. Channel 11 news at 6 o'clock. At the end of it, they always give Zen music. They promote it every night. It's Zen music. It makes me, in my recliner, it makes me want to cross my legs and kind of put my arms out. Man, this is a blessing. Oh, yeah, this is good. Oh, man. Wheel of Fortune's Fister, come on, hurry up. But you understand, that's not what meditation is in the Bible. That's not what it is. Sitting for 15 to 20 minutes twice a day and repeat a specific sound or a mantra in your mind, that is not meditation. That's not what the Bible, that's what David was talking about. When he said, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight. The word Latin, in the Latin, is the word ponder. To ponder. It means to weigh out your thoughts, to contemplate something. You ever made the phrase, Brother Brent, I just like to bounce this around in my head for a little bit before I make a decision? Some people have a whole lot more room to bounce a ball around in than others do, that's for sure. Some can play dodgeball in their mind, it's so empty. The word Hebrew is very interesting to me, and that was the one I was mostly interested in, and enlightening. It also means to muse. You've probably heard that word, and it's in the Bible, the word to muse. While I was musing, the Bible says, the fire burned within me. Here's where I want you to understand that maybe you've been doing more of this than you realize. It's very similar to the definition of the word to murmur. If somebody is murmuring, you don't really make out clear what they're saying sometimes. It sounds like they're kind of mumbling because they're not really talking to you. They're just talking out loud what they're thinking, and they're murmuring about something, and they don't necessarily want everybody to hear what they're saying. Remember when Moses was having to deal with Israel and the Lord said, I heard you murmuring in your tents? They were thinking that nobody heard what they were saying, but the Lord heard what they were saying. And God hates murmuring because that's whining and complaining when you've been blessed. God doesn't like that. Well, it's very similar to that, except it's on the positive side. It is where that you are, this is the way that the Hebrew dictionary says, it's like the rumbling of a lion. Not the roaring of a lion, but as he's walking, it's like you can hear him and he's rumbling as he's going about. He said it's like the cooing of a dove. It's repeating and discussing thoughts with yourself. And of course, the Lord. Hopefully, you're not just talking to yourself. But it's musing of the thoughts, and it's processed through the lips. Not necessarily out loud. Has anybody ever, maybe in your family, or with maybe some of your friends, maybe heard you doing this, and they said, who are you talking to? This is a good thing. If you're not murmuring. But if you're meditating and you're thinking about something, sometimes you can get so caught up in what you're meditating on that you're actually having a conversation as you're talking this out. When I study sometimes for hours, I'll just leave it alone and take a walk around the block or mow the yard, and I will catch myself. I'm having a conversation. I'm having a conversation and I'm thinking these things out. I'm saying, okay, Lord, about this, Lord. Well, over here you said this. Well, Lord, you promised this over here. Well, Lord, what about over here? And so you're working this out because what you're wanting to know is you're wanting the truth in that situation. Now, it does involve some study, but it's more than study. The New Testament Greek uses the word like this. It means, for example, as if your mind was like a carousel. Have you ever gone into Walmart to buy a piece of jewelry or a watch? If you go to the watch place, they'll have in a nice place, not Walmart, but other places, they'll have a carousel of watches or rings. And usually it's turning by itself. And you're looking at each one of them carefully as they go by, and sometimes they'll let you use your hand to move it. Because sometimes you want it to stop. And you want to look at it just a little bit longer, and then you're moving on to the next one, and now you're looking at that one, and you're looking at it, and you're musing upon it, and you're thinking about it. And God says, this is what I want you to do with my word, and my law, and my precepts, and my truth. I want you to look at them, and I want you to contemplate them and ponder them in your mind and in your heart. The Greek politicians and orators would walk around in their private lounges rehearsing their speech before they went out in public. That's where they get that thought of meditation. Is that you're not that you are working this out, you're talking this out. What am I going to say? Have you ever had to talk to somebody about something that's real serious? And so now you're walking around in the house and you're saying, oh, what am I going to say, Lord? How am I going to deal with this? What if they say this? What if they say that? So you're actually having a conversation with yourself, but you're also bouncing it off the Lord, and he's looking at your heart and your mind. That's why David said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be found acceptable unto the Lord. The words of my mouth, they need to be words of truth and words of faith, not words of imagination and accusations and imaginations and frustrations. Do you understand? The Lord wants you to think upon these things. An example of this is in Luke chapter number 12. He gives a parable. He gives an illustration of this. He says this guy is wealthy, and he doesn't know what to do with all of his wealth. And so the scripture says he thought within himself, and then he starts into, and he says, saying, what shall I do? This will I do. There will I do this. I will say to my soul, and that's what you're doing. You're saying things to your soul, and you're saying things to the Lord when you're meditating correctly with the Lord. Meditation is a powerful thing in the life of a Christian. I'll tell you another guy, Old Testament illustration. Nehemiah, he saw some wrongdoing. The Bible says he got very angry by what he saw. He saw injustice taking place. He got real angry. But the Bible says that he did not immediately do something. Instead, the scripture says he just kind of withdrew and he consulted with himself. Do you know that the word consult means you're seeking advice? You're seeking counsel. Have you ever sought counsel from yourself? Don't you sometimes like to have an intelligent conversation? It is you stopping, looking at things, and he's consulting with himself, and I promise you, Nehemiah is a Bible-minded man. And he's thinking, okay, I'm offended by this. I'm angry about this. Is it just and is it right? And what should I do here, Lord? And when he got through with that, then he took action based upon his consulting and meditating upon these things with the Lord in these areas. He talked it out with himself about some of those things deliberately. I want to show you a couple of verses, okay? Turn with me to Joshua chapter number 8. I want you to consider tonight, and I want you, some of you young men, please, I want you to see this, because I'm going to tell you, if the devil is after anybody, it's after you young men and your minds. Why do you think the gaming industry focuses on you? They are after you. They are after your mind and your ability to actually think and to be able to actually stop and meditate on some things and contemplate and counsel yourself biblically about what you're fixing to do. Look in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. Isn't this a powerful verse? Look at verse 8. Now he's fixing to take over from Moses. He needs help. God said, do this and you'll be all right. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, do you think Joshua could lead an army by sitting somewhere on a mountainside with his legs crossed and his arm crossed with his eyes closed? Or do you think he is getting up in the morning and he's thinking about, okay, here's what the scripture says, and here's what I need to do, here's how I'm going to deal with that. And he's continually communicating. Meditation will cause you to continue to communicate with God. It says, he said, meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I like those two words. Prosperous and success. Prosper, again, doesn't mean wealthy. It means making progress. It means being an overcomer. That's what that means. It means you are advancing. In whatever battle you're dealing with, you are advancing. And God is blessing you because of your, you understand here, he said, there's a cause and effect here. He's meditating, and he says, then. That the power of meditation. All right, look in Psalm 1 with me, please. I know that some of you have memorized this passage of Scripture. I bet you we've got some young people who could stand up right now and quote this passage right here. But now listen to me carefully. Listen to your pastor, please. Memorization and meditation are not the same. Now, they're not enemies. You don't throw away the memorization for meditation, and you don't throw away the meditation for memorization. Because if you memorize them, you think that Joshua had copies of everything he needed throughout the day? I think that he probably had to memorize some of those passages so he could think upon them. And the Bible says here, look in Psalm 1. Look what it does. It said, blessed is the man. And listen, I like so far the word success and prosper and blessed. I like that. I'm for that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. It looks like stability, fruitfulness, and great satisfaction has been given. Would you look in Psalm 63 real quick? Psalm 63. Look at this. Now here's where I need you to see some of these things here that will help you. If we will do what the Lord says, we are going to educate ourselves upon what is the right thing to do, what is the will of God, and what are the ways of God. And it will also help me in my worship of God on a personal level while I am talking to God. Look in Psalm 63. Look what he says in verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I seen thee in the sanctuary. So his mind, his heart, his meditations are upon some things that he has experienced that have been good. Verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. This is not a then, verse 6, this is a when. He said, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. David said later in Psalm 119, he said, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Now let me exhort you just for a moment tonight about this, because I want you to consider the battle for meditation. He prioritized this in his life. He purposed this. He purposed this. But today, the enemy of today's Christian, well, it varies and it's multiple. Number one would be distractions. You have too many options that are distracting you from being able to meditate as God would have you to. You ever heard of the word, now the word muse, then there is the word amuse. That's to get you away from thinking. People go to an amusement park so that they don't have to think. Games are played to amuse us so that we don't have to think. Now, I know some of you have been hurt deeply, and I know sometimes you go through some very low spots and you don't want to think about sometimes some of the pain, and so you find some way not to be thinking upon the things that have wounded you or hurt you. But the answer is not to be amused. The answer is to meditate upon the Lord and the goodness of God and the truth of God. Now listen, we all like to be amused, but you just can't be hooked on it. It can be like a drug. It can be like a drug. I did some research on this. Did you know that they consider there to be a mental health, the mind and the soul of man today? There's what they call a considered a mental health crisis in the United States of America. I believe, Brother Kyle, that the area, some of the firemen, or at least some of the EMTs, whatever, they have what is called mental health days now that they're able to take off in the county when they're stressed out and they're going through some things. They want them to take mental health days. Teachers, mental health days. Students, schools, mental health days. Where was this at when I was in school? But what's going on in America? People are suicidal, or they're self-harming themselves. They are cutting themselves. There's extreme mood swings, anger, panic, and fear, and sadness, and depression. There's the loss of touch with reality. They call it psychosis or paranoia. There is the inability for them to function the basic tasks and responsibilities of life. They noticed a change. This was an interesting fact that really struck me hard. A noticeable change in America took place after World War II. America has 1 in 5 in this area now of mental issues, health issues. Is that 20%? I believe. Is that correct? 20%. But a noticeable change took place right after World War II. During World War I and World War II, people were going to church and calling out and crying out to God because they didn't know how the wars were going to turn out. They were seeking counsel at that time from pastors and church members and fearing the Lord and just hoping that they'd get through this thing, not knowing. After World War II, people started going, and after things got settled down, people started going to a therapist and a psychologist. And now they have exploded across the land. There probably are more therapists and psychologists than there are pastors or preachers or evangelists in America. See, what's the big deal? Those people are dealing with people's mental situations and their mind and their thoughts. You say, well, pastors and preachers are not qualified to deal with all those issues. I will just have to say to you that probably in some situations we may not be. I will admit that. There are some real serious situations that are beyond our ability. But if a man is a Bible man, I promise you he's got more answers than a therapist or a psychiatrist. Amen. Do you know what the difference is between a therapist and a psychiatrist? Not a joke. I'm not against all therapy, and I'm not against all psychiatry. A therapist is someone whom you will talk out your issues. They are like your counselor, like your life coach or something like that. You're talking out issues. They don't have the authority to medicate you. A psychiatrist, he'll talk with you, then he has the authority to medicate you with some of your issues. Okay? And so they noticed that America went from being, in that time after World War II, from being a we nation to a me nation. And I promise you, the more you're focused on me, and there had been a huge increase of couples or of people isolating and cutting themselves off from their birth parents because of therapists and psychiatrists dealing with them and making them feel like they are a victim. A victim. Far as I know, nobody had perfect parents. And if you ever become a parent, you'll find out you ain't a perfect parent. And there are abusive parents, but hey, quit using mom and dad as an excuse for losing the mind battle. God will enable you to be able to overcome any and all things in your past through the power of the Bible, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God. There is help and there is hope. Amen. Amusements, entertainments. I ask for what are the key things today that is hurting the mind and the health of people. They said digital distractions. Digital distractions. Constant noise. And we're not talking about the kind that children create, because they do make noise. Digital distractions, constant noise that trains the brain to reject slow, deliberate reading, listening, and thinking. You better let that sink in right there. It's tough now to pastor. Give it about another 10 or 15 years of this stuff and see what they're going to be able to do. No wonder people are flocking to churches where they are being digitally entertained. Amen. Well, it also said fractured attention spans because of digital entertainment distractions. We're talking about your iPhone, we're talking about your computer, we're talking about your video games. You say, Brother Roger, you're always harping on that. No, I'm not. I got a whole lot more important things to talk about. But I am telling you, it's gonna hurt you. And I'm trying to help you to understand this. And I'm not talking about just you teenage boys. We're talking about men that are married. Men that come in and say, well, I just need a relief and I need to. You just got to have to balance that, okay? Everybody has something that they like to do. But don't get hooked on it. And don't let it warp your brain to where that you can't think or read or meditate on the things of God. Fractured attention spans make focus difficult. That's why Jesus said cares of this life would choke out the Word of God. It opens the mind for deception. Once people went to church to get help, they went to preachers and men of God for some counsel, and now they go to clinics and therapists and psychiatrists and depend on drugs to deal with everything that people have dealt with since the beginning of time. Family problems, financial problems, and stress. Life's always been filled with that. And they will always be filled with that. But we simply are not looking to what the Lord says. Okay, I need to get on. I need to move on here. I want you to think about what David said. I want you to look at one verse. We're going to close. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4. You know what? I don't know about you, but I can sit and talk with somebody. Let me back that up. I can go somewhere and hear somebody preach, and I can tell whether or not that man is a thinker. I can tell whether or not he actually studies. I can tell whether or not he actually meditates. I can tell, you know why? Because, and I can tell by church members like that too, because people who meditate and think and talk things out with the Lord, they are not easily manipulated. And they do not fall underneath the preacher's mind control tactics in a public service, because they have learned how to focus and think for themselves. I am not opposed to you thinking for yourself. We all have got to learn to think better. And we all have to learn to think for ourselves. What we don't want to do is think outside of truth and what the Word of God says. By the way, if we're all meditating on the same book and we're all yielding ourselves to the same Spirit, we're going to come to the same conclusions about some things. And we will walk by the same rule. Amen. Like, okay, there's only two genders. I mean, you really got to have an empty brain for somebody. You really got to be under some mind control. Amen. I was listening to the guy on 740, the radio. He's on quite often. He comes on every day. I forget his name. Michael Berry. He was interviewing a nurse that worked in a clinic for transgender youth. What she said happened inside that clinic is an abomination. What they were doing to children, to their minds and their bodies in the name of medicine. It was wicked and ungodly. But it started with somebody that was in charge of that child that's got a mind that is warped and wicked and reprobate. And they have been, listen, and by the way, I'll say this straight up. I know this guy in prison asked me about me saying things about Democrats. I can't help it right here. You've just about got to be under mind control to follow the Democratic platform. Obviously, you don't know how to think for yourself. And that's one thing about the difference between Democrats and Republicans in Congress. You say, well, you shouldn't talk about politics. Listen, that's what they say when you go get your hair cut. Let's don't talk about religion. And let's don't talk about politics. Okay, so in other words, let's don't talk about earthly life and let's don't talk about eternal life. The things that determine things, right? The reasons why Republicans have a hard time passing things is because they know how to think for themselves. The Democrats, they will stick together even if it's as rotten to the core as can be because they don't think for themselves. Amen, Brother Roger. And I'm saying that in no independent Baptist church should you be in a mind-controlled, cult-oriented environment. And that every pastor should respect the headship of every home and allow those families to determine some of their own personal liberties and preferences that are not black and white in the scriptures. If you want somebody to tell you what to do every day, you're in the wrong place. Because, where's it at? This is what you need. Because this is what you are. Do you understand? It's just, you understand, you're going to have to learn. David said, Lord, I want my meditations to be found acceptable in your sight. Sometimes I've heard Cindy, she'll ask me, she said, who are you talking to in there? And I was in the bedroom talking to the Lord. I said, I'm just talking. She's gotten used to that. I'm not crazy. I don't think. I just know I'm just saying, I like intelligent conversation, so I talk to myself sometimes. Amen. Hey, I'm just joking. A little. But you're going to look with me in Philippians chapter 4. Look in verse 9 and 10. Now, you know verse 8. Verse 7 is about you and your mind, keeping your heart and mind. Okay, and verse 8, the last part of that verse, it says, think on these things. So think upon that which is true. Okay, so kick it around in your mind. And things that are honest, kick it around. Talk about it. Talk to the Lord about it. Not your imaginations, not your insinuations, not the accusations, not the exaggerations. Don't do that. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's that next word? Ah, thank you very much. Do these things. Do these things. Remember Isaiah 26, verse number 3? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. So when you feel that trouble coming up and that anxiety coming up and you feel that stress coming up, and it will, that's going to be part of the imagination messing with you. and it's distorting reality, and it's calling God a liar, and it's accusing others, and you're going to have to learn to be on the defense. But you don't need to be on the defense all the time. You need to be on the offense over here. A good offense, keep the defense off the field. Do you understand? God wants you to be on the offensive, not to be offensive, but to be on the offense of the way that you think. So when you think something ugly and nasty and suggestive and accusatory, man, just place that thing in the garbage can, and then you start thinking upon the truth and upon the Word of God and upon the promises of God. I'll tell you what, you say, Brother Roger, you don't understand, we got trouble, we got problems. I'm telling you, God is able. See, that's the truth. And even if you sowed some bad seeds and you're reaping the consequences, did you know if you humble yourself, God will give you grace while you're reaping the consequences of your bad decisions? If you humble yourself, God will give you grace to endure that and to overcome it. Don't be a zombie. Amen. People are fascinated with these dumb ignoramus shows like called The Walking Dead. You really must be hard up for entertainment. I'd rather watch Andy Griffith reruns all day long and Lassie. Please, God gave you a mind. He wants that mind. He wants your thoughts. He wants to bless you, prosper you. I hesitate to say that word because of how it's been abused, but it's a Bible word. To be successful, to prosper, and to be blessed. Don't be a prisoner inside your own mind. Meditate upon the things of God. Ask the Lord, is this acceptable? And let the words of your mouth, instead of murmuring, let it be musing and meditations. Okay? Let's pray. Father, please help our dear saints. Dear God, please, I pray in Jesus' name that they had believed the Word of God, that they had remembered Romans chapter number 12, that, Lord, if they would renew their minds, that their lives, their very lives would be transformed. Oh God, I pray that, Lord, that they would use one of the greatest weapons you've given them, and that is their mind and their thought life. May, Lord, they receive the truth tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.